Welcome to Season 7, Episode 16 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we'll read your feedback and...
We're going to interview David Herman David about Miracle Cast.
David Herman about Miracle Cast.
Sorry.
And we'll also have a command line love. If you're listening live, you can send us messages using the chat doofer on the website and in the hash UUPC IRC channel on Freenode. I'm Alan, and joining me this week is Laura. How are you?
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Good. Battenberg this week, that was good.
Yeah, that's going in the show notes.
Tony doesn't like, no, not Tony, Mark, the other one, doesn't like...
The other one.
I know.
What's it called?
Marzipan. It's like the whole point of Battenberg.
I know.
He doesn't like fruitcake either.
He likes the fruit, but not the nuts.
I just don't like that.
No, you don't like fruitcake.
Like mince.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How about Christmas?
You know it isn't meat?
Mince? Oh,
yeah, mince.
As in mince pies.
Minced meat.
Minced meat.
So, what have you been up to,
comes
then, Laura?
From.
Nothing really techie. I read the first Stephen King book I've ever read.
Oh, really? Yeah. Which one?
Pet Sematary.
Ah, any good?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. It's all about death.
Super.
Nice.
Hey, Mark, can you stop pressing keys because you're leaning into the document? Thanks, mate.
Leading into the document in some sort of Tron fashion.
Yeah, you are. You're like leaping
It's a miracle
in.
Cast.
Tony,
hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, fine. I'm good, just good. Putting off the moment when I have to talk to Mark.
Yeah.
Is that because he's left you?
Justifiable.
He's over there. What have you been up to?
I went to Bruges at the weekend with some
Bruges?
Old school friends. Yeah.
Is that Belgium?
It is in Belgium, correct.
Oh. Did you drink lots of Lef?
No. I think I had one.
Oh,
Lef. Did you have any quack?
No quack.
Oh.
Duvel?
Shimmy?
I had 2.5 beers while I was there.
Wow.
Chocolate?
Whoa. Did they have to put you in an ambulance?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, hopefully not.
Oh, you don't remember?
No.
Yeah, that beer is strong, isn't
did
it?
Did your phone there? Work?
My phone did work in Belgium. And yeah, no,
it's
had
been
a really,
known not to.
It has been known not to. But it's had a really nice time with some catching up with some old school friends. We're very middle aged. We sat in and talked about pensions and things. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great fun. Great
living fun. The high life.
Yeah. What about you, Alan?
I thought we were going to talk to Mark.
I thought you were trying not to talk
to
Mark.
Oh, okay. Oh, let's do that then.
We've got a minute and a half to kill.
Well, I can do that. You know me. I bought a dash cam.
Ooh, uh-huh. Tell me more.
Yes, it was really cheap. It was, well, not really cheap. It was fairly cheap, £40 off of Amazon.
Okay.
And you attach it to the windscreen and it like points out forward. I've got it pointing forward, obviously. I've got to film myself. Some people do.
Narcissistic.
Yeah. Look at me driving.
The driving podcast from Alan Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've got it pointing outwards.
8 hours of him picking his nose.
Singing along to ABBA as I drive down the road.
Oh, that we have to see.
So yeah, it plugs into the power socket, the cigarette lighter socket, and it just comes on when you start the car.
Okay.
And it's got a little memory card in it, and it just films constantly in little 5-minute chunks or 3-minute
chunks.
And if
someone crashes into you, you can prove it wasn't your fault.
Only if they hit the front.
Yeah. Well, you could put one in the back as well. You could put one in every window if you
How
wanted to.
It
might be
you are.
A bit excessive, but actually, the reason I did it was because. I wanted one for a bit of fun, but the there's a group on Facebook that I'm a member of, Historic Farnborough.
Oh, yes.
And there's lots of people posting, like, really old photos and stuff. And I played this little video to my wife and said, look, there's a little video I made of going around Farnborough. And she said, oh, you should post that on the Historic Farnborough site. And I was like, well, it's not very historic, is it? And she said, well, there's loads of people in the group who've moved away from the area and don't know what it's like. So I posted this little video, this little clip, 3 minutes of me pootling around Farnborough, and got loads and loads of responses. Oh, I remember that. And oh, look, there's this and there's that. And can you do one of this road? And can you go around here? So yeah, at lunchtimes.
I know where you live now.
At lunchtimes, I go out the house and then start recording and like pootle around a little bit. And I find myself incredibly self-conscious while I'm driving now, because I think if I ever play this video back, then, you know, and I'm like, you know,
yeah,
screaming at someone or driving too fast or overtaking someone too close.
You know, so, you don't do that anyway.
No, but, you know, you fall into lax habits now and then. Nobody's a perfect driver.
I suppose.
But I actually got a comment from one guy on there. Nice to see someone with a really good driving style. I'm glad this Facebook group fosters people like you.
Do you have driving gloves?
No, I don't.
Yes, it is
a Volvo, but but yeah, it's cool. It's good fun. How about you, Mark? I've run out of time.
Now, go on, let's give him 30 seconds. What have you been up to?
No.
Oh, dear. Blimey. I think I might have to go and make the tea.
let's talk to David, I think.
We're on the phone with David Herman, who is going to talk to us about his Miracle Cast project, which we talked about briefly in a past show. So hello, David.
Hello.
So could you give us a quick summary of what Miracle Cast is, please?
Miracle Cast is a technology that allows you to replace your HDMI cable with a wireless technology. So anything you can do with your HDMI cable to connect TVs, for instance, you can now replace with wireless technology and drop all the cables.
And that's for Linux or for all platforms?
It's for all platforms.
Okay, cool.
How does it work?
It uses the normal Wi-Fi stack, but introduces a new technology called Wi-Fi peer-to-peer, which allows to create direct connections between two PCs or two devices without requiring a network infrastructure. And once you can discover remote peers via that technology like Bluetooth does, and once you set up a direct connection to your TV, you have basic video streaming, which is done over a regular IP network. And
normally you would connect to two devices together using a wireless access point to make them talk to each other, but this doesn't need that. It's the two devices talking directly to each other.
Exactly. Internally, it's similar to tethering, which is like which allows you to like share your internet connection of your phone, which many people might know. And the technology is the same, but it allows you to connect both devices without a router or access point.
So if you, if the thing which you want to be playing on your TV is streamed off the internet, but you're connecting to your TV over Wi-Fi, how can your does Miracle Cast let you have two Wi-Fi connections on the same interface?
Yes, that depends on the Wi-Fi interface. The Wi-Fi device you have, but usually most of them have multiple MAC addresses, which allows you to connect to multiple APs at the same time. So you can connect to your regular network at home, and at the same time have multiple connections to different TVs just to stream your video.
What's the advantage of having a direct connection between the two devices?
Well, the most obvious advantage is that it's faster because you don't have a step between both devices where you have to send the data. So you can get pretty good latency with that TV. And if you stream data to other Wi-Fi devices and it's video data, it's real time, you want it to be like 20 milliseconds or something like that, so you don't see a delay when you play games or do other stuff.
And I guess also if you're streaming something from the internet to your laptop and sending that to the TV, that data stream is going to appear on your network twice. If everything was connected to the same access point. But this means it's kind of streaming through one interface and then out effectively through another. Is this something that only certain chipsets support?
Yes. The Wi-Fi peer-to-peer technology is actually pretty broken currently on Linux, and there are just few drivers. Yeah, it's often the case with new technologies, but there are a few drivers which support it, and I have got two working, I think, the Atheros and the Intel cards. But it's currently most of them are pretty broken, so it will take some time until it works seamlessly on Linux.
So what's the bit of functionality which didn't exist before? If this stuff's in the device drivers, what didn't exist before that Miracle Cast is providing?
The technology itself existed, but the Wi-Fi peer-to-peer specification introduced the technology in a way which requires a lot of driver changes, even though the technology already worked.
Right.
And not all drivers were converted.
Right, I see. So basically you've been making these changes to the drivers in the kernel, is that right?
I didn't do much with the drivers, because the Wi-Fi peer-to-peer stuff is independent, and a lot of Wi-Fi people do that upstream.
Right, okay.
But Yeah.
So HDMI carries HD video data, and that's obviously a lot of information to shuffle between devices. Are there any problems trying to shuffle that amount of information over wireless as opposed to over a cable?
It actually works pretty nice. You can stream full HD, which is 1920 on 1080 pixels in real time, and it's currently limited to 30 frames instead of 60 frames per second, but you can stream the same information as stereoscopic 3D, which works with 60 frames. And it is encoded as MPEG-4, so you get lossy lossy video, like the same you stream over the internet.
So you're actually there's something at each end. There's an encoder in your laptop, for example, your device, that's encoding whatever video you're watching, whatever format it's in, whatever codec it's using, turning it into whatever H.264 or whatever MPEG-4, and the TV or the box under the telly decodes that and then turns that into like an HDMI signal into the telly.
Exactly. The only difference being that MPEG-4 is a lossy format, while the other formats that are used for normal displays are usually not lossy. So
right.
So if I wanted to give this a go, what would I need to get up and running?
Currently, only the sync side is working on Linux. That means you can only run your TV or your display on Linux. For the source side, that is the device which streams the data, which has like connects this separate display, you currently need Android or another operating system that implements the client side. But if you have that, you can just you need a Wi-Fi card that supports peer-to-peer, which I think I've listed on the website, which USB adapters support that, and then you can just compile the software, enter two commands, and it should work just out of the box.
So I've got like a home theater PC which I've built, which has got XBMC on it. So I could download Miraclecast and compile it on that, and then I'd be able to send stuff from my Android device to that box. Am I right?
Exactly.
Cool. Yes. Excellent.
And sorry, I just forgot what I was going to ask.
So other than the bandwidth limitations, are there any other limitations to what you can send to that device?
No, you can actually send anything you want. The interesting part is that the transport channel that Miraclecast provides actually allows you to send any kind of information. You have an IP network there, you can send audio, you can send even input. Input events can be sent back from the TV to the device. For instance, if the TV has a touchscreen, you can interact with the TV, but the real processing of these events will be done on the device streaming the data.
Right.
So it is, well, you can stream anything you want over that thing, and is that that's actually pretty nice.
Is that implemented in Miraclecast? So if I had a touchscreen device like Mark's PC with a TV on the wall, I could go over to it and press a button. Would that go back to the Android device? That's how would that trigger that event?
I hope you wouldn't ask that.
I'm sorry about that.
No, currently it's limited to video only. Right. I have one guy who asked me whether audio works, and he's currently working on that.
Oh, good.
But that's the.
What's the bit that's not implemented with the audio? I mean, you're receiving the data. The Android device is sending you stuff. Or is there some kind of negotiation up front that says, what do I support? I support sending input events and audio and video, and you're only telling it you support video or something.
Yes, exactly. We have that. When you build up the connection, you first negotiate what modes you use, what kind of data you transmit, and you can select audio codecs, you can select video formats, and so on. And once you agree on a specific format, you start the transmission. And for audio, it's mostly figuring out how the GStreamer and audio pipeline on Linux works rather than implementing something.
Right.
So is this based around openly implementable codecs, or is it only, or are there reliances on proprietary ones?
No, it's MPEG-4 and H.264. So it's the common Ampere codecs that are used for Miracast too.
So you started this project not that long ago, was it?
Yeah, exactly. I started it like half a year ago.
Okay.
And most of the time I just spent figuring out how Wi-Fi peer-to-peer works on Linux and fixing drivers. Yeah.
And so how long do you think it would be before we could, say, send the screen from an Ubuntu laptop to my TV?
Not that this is a very specific requirement that Laura has. That's the only reason you're on here, is so that she could directly ask you that question. And we've got a recording of it.
I hope to finish the project in like half a year. Okay. And this summer I'm at the Linux Plumber conference where we'll meet with a lot of Wi-Fi developers. I hope we can figure out the peer-to-peer stuff. The biggest problem is still that the peer-to-peer API is not integrated very well with other network infrastructure like Network Manager and the other UIs we have there. So that's still missing. But you could technically, in like, I hope half a year, use the technology.
So Alan possibly knows who the Network Manager guys are.
Not me. And so you're saying about going on to the Plumbers Conference. Is that to gather more interest, or are you presenting talks there, or are you trying to get other people interested in helping you with the project?
Well, both, I think. Mostly the Plumbers Conference is a pretty technical conference where you meet other kernel developers and low-level user space developers, and it's mostly to talk to others and try to figure out problems. But it's also to advertise the project and like find new people who are interested in this, and there are definitely people like the automobile people want this in their cars, and yeah, I got a lot of good responses from people out there.
What's the use case there from like sending like the screen data from your phone to the screen in the car?
Exactly, people want to avoid running applications on the car itself, so with that technology, you can use the car, the display in the car, but all the software runs on your phone, so it doesn't interfere with car technology.
Huh. Cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Makes a lot of sense as well, doesn't it?
This can be, in theory, could the devices that are the receivers, like the IVI, the in-car thing, doesn't need to be particularly clever. I mean, it could be an embedded device, something like, you know, Raspberry Pi style, you know, lean device that has a screen attached, and, you know, you boot into it and then you just send your stuff to it. Is that effectively what it was?
Yeah, funny that you mentioned that. My project, like my goal was to port Miracast to a Raspberry Pi so you can attach it to your TV and make it immediately like Miracast capable.
Right.
And so that's all you need. A Raspberry Pi, which can do hardware decoding, and you attach it to your TV and plug in a Wi-Fi device, and you're done.
I was thinking this might be useful for other non-entertainment screens around the house, like the fridge and other screens that potentially you could have. You could just send, like, if I walk into the kitchen, I'm in the middle of making dinner. I don't want to have a giant TV. I just want to send the program I was watching in the lounge. I want to send it to, whatever screen I happen to have in the kitchen.
Or you want to bring up the recipe on your phone and send it to the fridge so that you can see it there without having to keep looking at
your
phone.
And the fridge can tell you whether you've got all the ingredients.
That's the future, right?
This is like Back to the Future, isn't it?
It's more like Tomorrow's
World. There are actually people working on that from Steam, the game platform.
Really?
And they're working. They released the Steam in-house streaming, they call that, which is a technology to change the display and the devices during while you play from one to another. So you can run your game on one machine, but switch from your TV to your PC or to another device, a tablet, and so on.
Yeah,
which is quite similar to that.
This really is the future, isn't it?
It's like
that bit in 24 when he says, "Send that to my screen."
It's the missing bit, isn't it?
I've wanted that for years. That bit where he just swipes across and it flies across from one screen to another. I want that. Make that happen, please.
I'm doing my best.
So are you looking for other people to get involved and help you with certain aspects?
Yes, I am. But the most difficult difficult part is still to make the network stuff work well and do like most of the work in other projects. MiracleCast itself, so it's hard to motivate people to work for MiracleCast but don't work on the project itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's currently the biggest problem, yeah.
Right.
So where can people go to find out more?
Oh, best thing is always writing me emails. I haven't written much documentation yet, and I pleasantly answer any questions from people. Uh-huh. But the website is currently on freedesktop.org, on the wiki, and it's called MiracleCast. Yeah. There should cool. everything.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, let's do that.
And is all the code up on Free Desktop, or is it GitHub or somewhere?
Yes, Free Desktop. The Git repositories. Yes.
Cool.
Well, thank you very much. That was really interesting. And it wasn't just because I want Ubuntu on my TV. But yes, thank you very much.
Thanks for inviting me.
Okay. Nice,
cheers. Thank then, you. David.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's time for a command line learn.
You stole my thunder.
It says my name.
Oh, so it does.
There we go.
Yeah, you're right.
However, I can't push the button for you that you need to push right
now. Yeah, I pushed it.
So this is an interesting command line love. It is put forward by a man called Popey.
That would be me.
Oh, right. Excellent. So this is something to do with uploading footage from a webcam to YouTube and creating time-lapse videos. How did you come up with this, Alan?
Is it?
Yes.
Well, it is. It's kind of a so YouTube upload is a Python script that does exactly what it says on the tin. It uploads videos to YouTube on the command line. So useful if you wanted to automate uploading videos to YouTube, for example, which is what I wanted to do. So I've run a little script at home which captures pictures from my webcam on a regular basis, and then I use Mencoder to turn those stills into a video, a time-lapse video. And then YouTube uploads those videos directly to my YouTube channel.
So there are several parts to the
puzzle. The bit at the end that I didn't quite figure out until the very end. I thought, I'll make all these videos and then later on I'll upload them to YouTube. And then I discovered, yes, there is a thing that lets you do that on the command line, and it works really, really well.
Cool. So I noticed that you have to put your password on the command line.
That is the downside. Yeah, it doesn't allow you to like store the credentials somewhere else very easily that I've figured out. It also slightly breaks if you use two-factor authentication on Google. However, Google has a system where you can create application-specific passwords for applications that don't support two-factor auth.
Okay. Ah.
So you log into Google. If you just search Google for application-specific passwords, there's a support link, and it'll ask you to log in, and then you say create a password, and it's a one-time password that you generate, and you tell it what the app is. So I just put YouTube upload as the app, and then it gives you a brand new password that's nothing like your existing password, and then I give that to YouTube upload, and it allows me to log in without two-factor auth.
Okay.
And that won't work if someone just wanted to log into your Gmail, for example.
Yes. Well, I don't think so. I've not tried logging into my Gmail with that one-time thing.
Okay, and you can put other metadata about the upload on the thing, so you can put the title and keywords and things?
Yeah, so you can put all the like basic information you need to put in the video, like the title, a description, and whether you want the video to be public, private, or unlisted, which is quite important for me. I didn't want to, because my webcam generates a video every hour, in fact, two videos every hour, one at full speed, at 60 frames a second, one at 1 frame a second. I didn't want to spam my YouTube channel with like bazillions of videos, so I upload them and have them private or unlisted, and then if I like one, I can share it with friends.
Is there a lot that's interesting that goes on in your back garden?
So it's pointed up at the sky because there's Farnborough Air Show on at the moment, and there's lots of planes flying around, and sometimes it's nice to watch the planes, but also I quite like watching the clouds.
Excellent. Well, there we go. Let's hope your boss doesn't find out.
And he likes clouds too.
That's true. He's big on clouds.
He's big on clouds.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Excellent. So that's the end of the command line love this time.
And now it's time for your feedback. And Robert Ray's emailed in.
I just downloaded the latest LTS of Ubuntu and made a donation. I noticed no category to donate for an ARM desktop Ubuntu version. Will Konical be doing a version with a vendor to sell ARM? Will Konical be doing a version with a vendor to sell ARM-based laptops like the Chromebook?
That's a good question. I don't think we have anything in the pipe to do that, but I don't work for the part of the company that does that.
There is an ARM build, though, isn't
there? There are ARM. Well, the problem is that you need ARM specific. So the archive is built for ARM.
Yeah.
So if you have an ARM device, you can get the packages binary in binary form for that ARM device that will run on that processor.
Yeah.
And so, for example, there are people who have made a version of Ubuntu that works on the Chromebook. Okay. Specifically, yep. I think it's called. There's one called Crouton and one called Krubuntu. I think Krubuntu. But with ARM is a little bit tricky. It's not like PCs where we can put all the drivers and it'll just auto detect everything. ARM doesn't have that, so you have to do a hardware specific kernel for that
device.
Yeah. You have to do that hardware bring up for each device. So it's a little bit tricky, and there's work required to do that. And you kind of need a bit of participation from the manufacturer, yeah, the SoC vendor,
right?
Which makes it a bit tricky.
And you don't know what the plans are because that's a different arm of the company.
Yeah, very good.
I've been waiting to say that.
That's so bad, I should have said it.
I know.
Always with the jokes. Oh, you gave me the hard one to spell, pronounce.
It's a long email too, so you might just want to summarize it.
Yeah, we had a lovely email. I'm not going to mention it because it's a good email and it's got lots of good content in it. What I will do is we'll email the author and ask them if we can reproduce it on the website because it's got loads of good content in it.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah.
I think that would be better than us paraphrasing and reading only a little bit of it.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
And it's also awesome to find out we have a listener in Nigeria.
Yes.
So hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. And Charlie emailed in saying,
interesting discussion about casting from tablets and Ubuntu. One specific use case is education. Wirelessly casting a student screen to a classroom projector is perfect for schools. We've got 1,700 high school students, each running Ubuntu on their school-issued laptop. Native casting from Ubuntu would be amazing. Oh. And students and teachers would be free to wirelessly send their local screen to the front of the room, which in turn creates a more interactive and dynamic learning environment. And then there seems to be lots of button pressing.
Cables being unplugged.
Fine,
trying to find the right cable to shut Laura up. You found it.
An inexpensive receiving device like a Chromecast also sidesteps the install costs and inflexibility of static projector wall plates and the associated cabling and conduits.
Huh. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? That's quite cool.
Yeah. Mm. One of the teachers in the college that I used to work at, we were like looking at potential wireless projector solutions so people could connect to it from wherever in the classroom they were, like from a tablet or whatever. And he just said, well, the smart board's connected to the PC, why don't we just remote desktop into the PC and do it from there? Just like really easy ways around all this sort of really complicated sounding stuff. But yeah, this is another perfect use case.
Yes. Also, I'd just like to point out, he says they have 1,700 high school students each running Ubuntu on their school-issued laptop.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. We should get him on the show to talk about
that's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Or her. Here, Charlie. Yes.
Yeah, or her. Which could be.
So, Sam emailed,
I have recently run into some hardware issues and I'm unable to debug what has given up on me, the hard disk, or the DMA, or both. Are there software tools for Ubuntu, Linux in general, that would help me debug it? Basically, the system lags like hell. It works perfectly on a fresh install, one shutdown later, and it wigs out, freezes, and just doesn't want to do anything. Wow.
Great description.
There's smart CTL tools for diagnostics on your hard disk.
Smart Mon tools is the package name. Okay. Smart CTL is program.
The tool.
Yes.
Memtest might be useful.
Yeah, always worth running a memtest.
That's from your grub menu. That just
There's Bonnie to do hard disk performance testing.
Okay.
Those are all good tools for doing that kind of thing. Lags like hell. So what you want to know is what is the thing that's lagging it. So basic tools like Top will tell you what's eating the CPU. There's also tools like IO Top. So if it's lagging doing some kind of IO, like there's some process sat there spinning away, filling the disk up or something, then IO Top is a good one to have.
HTOP is also a nicer version.
It's a nicer version of TOP, yes. Cool.
Yes.
Cool. Excellent.
And Simon emailed to say, when Canonical announced the closure of Ubuntu One, I spent some time looking at alternatives. I tried various services like Dropbox, Google Drive, via InSync, and OwnCloud. I settled on an application called C-File. Did we talk about C-File? I can't remember.
Don't think so.
It. No. It's similar to OwnCloud in that you own your data, but it's specifically designed for file syncing. It's cross-platform, and it's possible to run it on your own server or on theirs. It's very user-friendly, allows public sharing of particular libraries, and is open source on GitHub.
C-File, SEAFILE.com.
Cool.
Yeah, awesome. I think I've heard of that, yeah.
We also have had a voicemail.
Yep, from Roger Light.
Hello. I've had a bit of a break from listening to podcasts, but decided to start up again by listening to some UUPC. The first episode that I listened to included the interview with Michael Meeks and Bjorn Michelson from the Document Foundation. I just wanted to say that it was a very interesting segment, and that an interview with someone who says, "Crikey!" just how Michael did, felt like a proper reintroduction to the Radio 4 of Linux podcasts. All the best for the rest of the season, and maybe I'll see you all at an odd camp in the future. Cheerio!
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 Crikey!
Thank you for that, Roger.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Excellent stuff.
And I think that's all of your feedback.
The Ubuntu podcast needs you. Yes, you. If there's something you think we should talk about or someone we should talk to, tweet at UUPC or email podcast@ubuntu-uk.org. You can also talk to us on the telephone, Skype, Facebook, and Google+. Find links to all these places on our website, podcast.ubuntu-uk.org. And remember, if we don't hear from you, we might not have enough content. And that can only mean one thing. More quizzes.
You started it. Oh, I'll do it then. Thank you for listening, everybody. That's the end of episode 15, I hope, of season 16 of season 7. The next show will be on the Wednesday, 23rd of July, at 8:30.
Excellent.
Yes, come and join us then.
Yeah, we'll be live. So, you know, you can listen to us live and comment on the website, or you can download it the day after. You won't?
No, I won't be here. I'm otherwise engaged. Sorry.
Oh. Okay, so how many shows have we got left to learn the ropes now?
A few. Not a couple. Probably not enough.
Well, are you going somewhere?
Yeah, have I not mentioned it?
No.
Okay. Well, you'll figure it out. You'll be able to tell which episodes I'm not here for, because I won't be here.
Because the audio will be terrible.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, join us next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.